This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls all over the fruited plain, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the book of Psalms. Whoa, Psalms 22. Psalms 22. This is one of the few times I cannot say where we left off last time, because today we're taking a field trip, because this is holy season and people are celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of the body of Christ call this time Easter. So let's see what the Bible says about Easter before we begin Psalm 22. The Bible is perfect, but it was not written in English. There's only one time in the English translation that the word Easter is used, Acts 12:4. It is a mistake. The original Greek says Paschal. Take it back to the Hebrew, and both of these words mean Passover. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, we'll come back to the word Passover. Now, if you go to your Webster's Dictionary, you'll find that Easter is a time in spring when people go into the woods in the grass and play with the eggs and the bunny. The word Easter comes from a word Ishtar, I-S-H-T-A-R, who was a pagan goddess of fertility. They worshipped her by having sexual intercourse in the woods, in the grass, laying their eggs one after another, quick like a bunny. Now, how about that? I call it the unholy trinity, the grass, the eggs, and the bunny. Now, you say, well, how in the world did such a heathen practice get into the Christian church, especially on the highest holy day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord? Well, some people think that crowds are great. I do not. You show me a crowd, I don't go there. They're always wrong. Jesus thinks that too. He said there's a wide, wide road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in there. There's a narrow little way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. But the church leaders wanted to have a crowd. If you serve God for money, the more people you get, more money. I don't know anything about that, so I'm not going there. So they brought them in and said, let them bring their little Easter egg baskets and the bunnies, and then we'll get them converted. Okay, now let's let that alone. So what is Passover? Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. The children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. Mankind is in captivity to sin. So God said to Moses, their leader, he said, Moses, tell the head of every household to kill a lamb. The lamb must be firstborn, without spot, without blemish, and without wrinkle. Kill the Passover, it says, and put the blood of the Passover lamb in a basin. Take some hyssop, dip the hyssop in the blood, and strike it on the doorpost, on the lintel, which is a downstroke, and on the two side posts. This makes the sign of a cross. The Hebrew word there is tav, which means the sign of a cross. And God said, when I see the blood of the pure lamb and the sign of the cross on the door, death will pass over you. And when you, people of God, stand before the judgment seat of God for your eternity to be weighed in the balances, if God sees the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross covering your sins, eternal death will pass over you. Passover is a Christian word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So why did Jesus have to pay our sin debt? Because 2 Peter 3:6, there was a world that then was, world, Greek, Aeon, age. A beautiful cherub Lucifer, Isaiah 14, said, I will be God, rebelled against God, and brought sin into the equation. And that was before any of us were in our physical bodies. We were in our spiritual bodies with God. Right then and there, Jesus stepped up to the plate and said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. Foundation is a Greek word meaning countable Satan's rebellion. And so, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now we go to Psalm 22. Jesus is teaching from the cross in Psalm 22, and I want to entitle it, Jesus' Viewpoint from the Cross, Psalm 22.
Psalm 22, to the chief musician.
To the chief musician in the Hebrew means to the one who has the victory and to the one who gives the victory. Now there's a sign right there. Jesus is on the cross, dying, and he says, I've got the victory, I've got the victory. Remember that.
Upon Ajalath Shehar.
Ajalath Shehar, beautiful Hebrew, means the dawning of a new day. Want to speak Hebrew? Ajalath. Shehar. Pretty name, Shehar. The dawning of a new day. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed our sins away.
Psalm of David.
Now, 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross, Jesus had dictated this psalm to King David. This psalm was written 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. And as we follow this psalm along, we're going to find that Jesus is orchestrating his own crucifixion line by line. He's totally in charge. He's teaching Psalm 22. And David saw it exactly as it happened, because all of the Gospels verify this.
Verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am not silent.
Now, it doesn't sound like someone has got the victory saying that, does it? Now, there's a flashing red light about these first two verses. God places in his Bible something called an acrostic. An acrostic is something God hides in his Bible for his very elect to seek out. Proverbs says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. So there's an acrostic here. How do I know? There are three flashing red lights. Number one, both of these verses are in the original manuscripts written in Aramaic, and the rest of the psalm is written in Hebrew. Jesus is from the seed of Abraham, Hebrew. And when David saw this 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross, he's Hebrew. So there's something out of focus when you're suffering on a cross to speak another language other than your native language, all right? The second flashing red light is that Jesus calls God, God. You study Jesus. He never called God, God. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. I only do what I hear the Father do. After this manner pray, Father. And so, it's out of character when you're suffering to call him God. When you were a little child and you got hurt, you didn't say to your daddy, Mr. Daddy, I'm hurting. Daddy! Okay, got it? All right, out of character. The third flashing red light is that Jesus says, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, Jesus is God. There's just one God. The Epistle of John says these three are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot forsake yourself. I don't know about you. I'd like to get away from me sometime, but I'm always there. All right, these three are one. And so Jesus also taught, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. So we have three flashing red lights to say, there's something going on in here. Alert, alert, elect, and acrostic, what's happening? Why is Jesus doing this? There's something in the military called covert activity. Our United States of government is using it right now. The military has an order that when the enemy is surrounding you, play dead. And if you play dead, they might not kill you. We've seen this happen in the mass shootings. People said they played dead and they survived. Why would Jesus do this? Jesus came to die. Jesus has got to stay alive and pay the sin debt for 6 hours on that cross. Six is the number, spiritual numerics, of the depraved mankind. If he dies at 4 hours, our sins would not all be forgiven. If he dies 2 minutes before, in other words, he's got to stay alive 6 hours. If Jesus acts like he's achieving his goal, which he is, he came to die, he's successful. If he's too serene, those around him might kill him before his time. So he's playing dead. Got it? Smart God.
Three, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Now, this is clue one, that God never has forsaken him. In this same psalm, there's a verse, and I'm going to tell you when it is, that will show you that the Father never forsook the Son. It's proven in this chapter, and I will tell you when we get there. So, here's the first clue that God has not forsaken Jesus. To whom is Jesus speaking? Thou art holy. Father, thou art holy. In other words, thou who inhabitest the praises. Jesus does a smart thing. And when you're in your crucifixion, you can do this too. Jesus begins to praise the Father. Thou art holy. Praise you, Father. You are holy. What happens? God inhabits the praises. Once you begin to praise God, even when you're in crucifixion, his presence will be powerful in you. And the psalmist says, in his presence is fullness of joy. So then you praised him. It brings his presence. The presence brings the joy. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus is going to need strength. Remember that. Whatever your crucifixion, praise him. It brings his presence. His presence brings the joy. And the joy of the Lord will give you strength to endure to the end. Hallelujah.
Four, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Five, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
They were not confused. Jesus does a very smart thing. He focuses his mind on all the times that God has delivered God's children. Remember David? Oh, David was in the jaws of death so many times. We're studying about David's Psalms on a Wednesday night. And Jesus remembers that. Now, when you're in your crucifixion, remember that other time God got you through that? And you think he's not going to deliver you now? Remember how he delivered you before. So Jesus focused his mind on all the times that God, and of course that was Jesus, delivered God's children. He'll deliver you.
Six, but I am a worm and no man.
Now Jesus looks down at his body, and he is covered with red blood. They have beaten him to a pulp with 39 stripes. They have pulled out his beard. They have pierced his forehead with a crown of thorns. They have pierced his hands and his feet. And he looks down and sees the blood. They had a worm called a crimson worm. Crimson is red scarlet. And from the crimson worm, they made red dye. Jesus looks down at his body and says, I look like I've been dipped in the dye made from a crimson worm. He's covered with blood. He's orchestrating his crucifixion. The blood must be shed. What does he mean, I am no man? All right. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that they marred him so much that you could not tell if he were even a man. They had pulled out his beard, beaten him. He was so marred that he might have been a big dog or a small pony.
A reproach of men and despised of the people.
Now, he says the people despise him. The book of Isaiah 53 says, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, despised of God, and rejected. See, it only looks to you like somebody up there crucified has been despised and rejected of God. But it wasn't. It was the people. God did not forsake him, and we're going to prove that in a few moments in a verse. Now, When Job suffered, all of his friends came, all of those yakety 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 yak, and said, "You are suffering because God is mad at you." I have gotten 2-page letters in the mail saying the reason you've got this problem is because God hates you. It is, people tend to think that. They don't ever realize that there's a beautiful purpose for our suffering and that there's an enemy.
7. All that it see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying. 8. He trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighted in him.
And the Gospels add, if God will have him now.
9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb.
That's clue too. He's talking to the Father. The Father's still there.
Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. 10. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly.
Jesus sees his beautiful mother Mary and her big eyes crying there. And with great compassion, he says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." And John, the beloved disciple, took Mary home to be his mother. Now, Jesus also encourages himself to remember Isaiah 7:14, that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, that he came through a virgin's womb to do exactly what he's doing. He's successful. He's dying for our sins. He's absolutely a great success.
11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near.
Oh, now to whom is he speaking? Father, Father. Okay, watch this, Father. Trouble's around me. Now, let me ask you a question. From whence does trouble come? If we had never had any sin, we would never have any trouble. All trouble originates from Satan, who is the author of the original sin. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus took our sins on himself. So he says, now, Father, I want you to watch this. Make sure you get this, Father, because I see trouble. I see the sin of self-centeredness. I see the sin of no love. I see the sin of smugness. I see the sin of lukewarmness. I see the sin of lying. They're all around here in demons, Father God. So I'm going to take them on myself. So watch it, Father, so that when people commit these sins, Father, you can say, yes, I saw my son take those sins so your sin can be forgiven. So Jesus looks over there at self-centeredness and says, self-centeredness, come on me. And self-centeredness, thinking he's got Jesus, says, hee 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 hee, and he jumps on Jesus. Self-centeredness thinks he's got the Savior, but Jesus has got self-centeredness, so you can live for others. Then Jesus says, no love, come here. And no love says, hee hee hee, and plops himself on Jesus. No love thinks he's got Jesus, that nobody would ever love anybody again. But Jesus has got no love, so you can so love. And one by one, every sin came. And now when you repent of every sin, any sin, and you say in Jesus' name, Father can say, yes, I saw my sin. Son, take that sin. He was there. He had to see it so he can forgive you.
Hallelujah. There is none to help.
Jesus says there's none to help. What he means is there's nobody else that can take the sins, all of these sins, on himself but Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the life, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me.
12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round.
The bulls of Bashan in the Hebrew read magnificent animals. Now, they're not animals, they are people. They are descendants of Cain, and Cain is the child of the devil when Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. They are Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They always say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. Why are they magnificent? Because God made Satan the perfect pattern. Satan was so gorgeous before he fell, and then his son Cain was gorgeous, and these are the descendants. Now, I have to say, they've gotten a lot uglier now, but they are gorgeous there, and they are the ones saying, crucify him, crucify him. It's not our brother Judah. They just say they are Judah, but are not. They're the synagogue of Satan. Tonight.
13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion.
Now, Jesus is the true lion of the tribe of Judah, but your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan was orchestrating this. He thought, kill Jesus and I'm going to get to be God. So he was telling them all what to do, and he was just orchestrating all of this and thinking that he had won.
14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
Ouch.
My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels.
The Roman government would crucify people, and your heart would melt, would break. Jesus died of a broken heart. Our sins broke his heart.
15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd.
I thirst.
And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death.
Now, Hebrews 2:14, Jesus came to defeat death, whose name is the devil. The word dust here means degradation. Jesus is talking to the Father. Father, I'm getting a little bit dehydrated here, and I'm getting very close to doing what I came to do, to defeat death. And it's really a degradation for the author of life to die. So he just says that, you know, that in other words, I'm getting close, Father, but I've got a few more minutes. I've got to finish my 6 hours, Father.
16, for dogs have compassed me.
Dogs always represent the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. They're the same as the magnificent animals. I have a gift of dreams and visions, and any time a dog is in there, I start sniffing the air because I know a Kenite's around somewhere going to try to give me trouble.
The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me.
See, these were the ones for whom he spake Aramaic. They speak Aramaic. These were the ones he was using the covert activity. So they would think he was just absolutely hopeless all the while. He had to stay alive and orchestrate every part of this crucifixion.
They pierced my hands and my feet.
They who? The Kenites, saying they are Jews. Genesis 3:15, this first prophecy. God said to the devil, who is low down like a serpent, her seed shall bruise your head. Her, Mary, her seed is Jesus. He defeated death, defeated the death, the head of the serpent, shall we say. But God said to the serpent, who is the devil, he said, but your seed shall bruise his heel. Your children, devil. And there they are. They are the ones who pierced his heels.
17, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me.
Jesus looks down and there's almost no flesh left. He's just, shall we say respectfully, a bag of bones. Now you're a bone of his bone. And the Bible says not one bone is broken. It's good that those bones were intact because those bones are you. You're the body and he's the head. So the bones are okay.
18, they part my garments among them. They cast lots for my vesture. 19.
Now, this fulfills the prophecy. In the Gospels, it says that they gambled for his clothing. Now, in verse 19, Jesus has got to stay up there a few more minutes, but he's about to go into a coma. He realizes he needs a little strength. He's not trying to get out of the crucifixion. He came to die. And he's not asking for any kind of painkiller. He just says, I need a little strength, Father. Holy Spirit, I need a little breath here so I can finish my 6 hours. And so he's going to ask the Father for help in verse 19.
But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thou to help me.
Holy Ruach, holy wind, give me some breath. I've got to stay alive a few more minutes so Susie can be saved. Tommy can be saved. Their sins might not be forgiven. Give me one more bit of breath. Now, the Bible says that before you call, while you are speaking, God hears. And before you call, God hears. And while you are speaking, God answers. Now, in verse 20, God and the Holy Spirit are going to answer him, because verse 20 is God the Father speaking. He's going to answer. But Jesus is still, in verse 21, still asking. What did I say? While you're speaking, when you're speaking, before you call, he answers. While you're yet speaking, he hears. So God comes in to answer you even before you get the petition out. Now here comes the Father answering.
20. Deliver my soul from the sword.
The soul there in the Hebrew is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here we are, Son.
My darling, from the power of the dog.
Darling in the Hebrew, my only begotten Son, from the power of the Kenite. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now listen to this. Jesus is still asking for help, and God's already helped him. But then Jesus is going to realize he can breathe, and he's going to be happy. Listen to this.
21, save me from the lion's mouth.
Okay, help me, Lord. But he's just been helped.
For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn.
Yay, I can breathe. I'm going to make my time. Oh, thank you. Unicorn, no such word. Means ox. It means the bulls of Bashan, the dogs. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish my mission. Are you going to finish yours? Now, 24 is the verse that proves that the Father never did forsake the Son. I'll read through the next two verses until we come to 24. So just listen to these verses, and when we come to 24, that will listen carefully, because this will prove that God the Father never forsook the Son.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye, the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all ye, the seed of Israel.
Now just before we have that verse, Jesus is filled with joy there. So now here it comes.
24, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
The first he there in the Hebrew is Elohim, God the Creator. That's the Father. He did not despise, he did not abhor the one who was being afflicted. Who's being afflicted? Jesus? Okay.
Neither hath he hid his face from him.
Did not turn his back on him.
But when he cried unto him, he heard.
When he, the afflicted one, Jesus, cried, he, God the Father, heard. And God will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him.
God is looking now, Jesus is looking down the corridors of time into the future heaven on earth, when we're all going to be praising him, those of us who are saved.
Your heart shall live forever.
Hey, people, I'm giving you eternal life, says Jesus. He's getting happy now. His mission is about completed. See, you can stand anything if you know there's going to be something happy out there.
27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations.
Of Jesus' kingdom there shall be no end. King of kings and Lord of lords, coming soon at the seventh trump, after the Antichrist sixth trump.
29, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship.
Now, fat means strong in the word. So if you're strong in the word, you'll endure to the end and not get deceived by the soon coming Antichrist, because
All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him.
Okay, the dust is degradation. When Antichrist comes, he's coming soon at the sixth trump. We're finishing up the fifth trump now, a time of learning. Everybody in the world is going to worship the Antichrist, including half the body of Christ, and they'll bow to him thinking he's the Savior. But watch what happens if you worship that devil. The Antichrist is Lucifer. He always wanted to be God, and he's got his Jesus costume on. He's about to come.
And none can keep alive his own soul.
Nobody can save you if you worship the devil.
30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted unto the Lord for a generation.
Mark 13, Jesus says there's one generation that shall not taste of death. We'll be alive here at his second coming. And he calls us the generation of the fig tree. You are it, whether you are 5 or 105. Hallelujah.
Amen.
31, they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born.
All right, you were not born in the flesh there, nor was I. We were in our spiritual bodies, but we're born now. So Jesus says, he looks down at our time right here in Trumpet of Truth, and he sees this handmaiden, your messenger of truth, telling you this story of Jesus Christ. And he says that I'm going to tell you who were not born then the following message. Here it is.
That he hath done this.
The word this is in italics, and it's not said. It is done. He hath done is Hebrew, equivalent of the Greek, it is finished. What a prophecy.
Amen.
Now, as Jesus said, it is finished, the phony high priest Caiaphas was in the temple, Holy of Holies, and he killed the Passover. But there was Jesus Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Matthew 28. On the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, the Mary ladies and Joanna went to the tomb, and they found the stone was rolled away, and an angel was sitting on the stone, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Duh. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus said, dollars, how long are we going to believe that? Hallelujah. Jesus showed himself 40 days to prove he had resurrected. When it was time for him to ascend to his Father, he gathered the disciples to him them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Genesis to Revelation. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Happy Passover, Christians. Jesus is the Passover Lamb.
Amen.
Well, it's time now for a mystery moment, and I want to welcome the owner of the produce place of Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. That was a great word tonight. That
Thank
was called
you.
The meat of the word. There.
Yes,
yeah, definitely.
The meat, that's right, the meat filly. Thank you. It was God.
It was awesome. Okay, our first question, when did Jesus decide to die for our sins?
Well, actually, it was in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. When Lucifer rebelled, Jesus stood up to the plate, as I taught you today, and he said, I will be the lamb slain from before the foundation of the earth. He decided then, he said, at the Satan's rebellion, the catabole in the Greek, I will do that then. I'll pay the sin debt. He never asked us to do anything he wouldn't do. He sent us into this painful flesh, and he came in the flesh. And he died, shed his blood, paid our sin debt, our Passover lamb, and he arose. But it was decided way back then.
Yeah. And our next question, How could God bear giving his only son?
Well, Scott, let's you and I hold hands here.
All right.
Scott and I have this answer. It's from John 3:16. Let's take this gospel to the whole wide world right
okay.
now, shall we?
Yep.
Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So be it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Scott. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Well, Scott, it's time for Scott's stuff.
Okay. Obedience of thought and action is extremely important at this time. Holy Spirit cannot protect us when we allow the devil and his demons to work through our old self. We give the devil legal right and permission to inhabit the self and darkness in us because of such sin.
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, my goodness. We got to put all this on a recording, a CD or something. Thank you. Thank you very much, Scott. That
You're
is
welcome.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, any of you who are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess that I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many people to Jesus.
To bring many people to Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message on my voicemail and tell me you were saved. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus took those 39 stripes, and with his stripes we are healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings, and to the north and the south and the east and the west, let the healing virtue of Jesus circulate throughout the body, through the bones. Oh, dry bones, come alive in the body of Christ in Jesus' mighty name. Arthritis be gone, pain be gone in Jesus' name. Right shoulder be healed, left shoulder be healed in Jesus' name. Knees, let the knees be made strong, let the blood circulate, let the pain be gone, let arthritis, fibromyalgia, cancer be gone in the name and the power of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, Crohn's disease be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Live and not die. Pick up your bed and walk. Faith is an act. Act like you are. Act like you believe it. Don't be one of those duh. Okay. Now, we praise God for your healing. Please feel free to call and tell me that you were healed. Excuse me. Now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. When the devil is hitting you from the outside with bad stuff, remember that the devil cannot see the good stuff that God is doing for you on the inside. As Joseph said to his brothers, the enemy meant it for evil, but God will turn it for good.
Amen.
Bless you. Come to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. And we'll begin a new book next week. It is So Now, It's Judges. Know you not that you're to judge angels? And it's so pertinent. You're going to live through these characters. It's going to teach you how to be a warrior, how to overcome. And I just can't wait. Great book of Judges. Now remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Until next time, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And this is Sherry Medlock saying, stay in the truth with love.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
So high. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God.
calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Yesterday, today, forever. You're the same, you never never change. You never fail, you never fade. We can trust you. We can trust you.
Sanity away, and you start to breathe.